It's easy to talk about unconditional love in a very general, non-specific sense. But Skip Heitzig says the challenge comes in when we start trying to apply it to the people we know.
See, you can talk all about loving mankind and put nice little bumper stickers, visualize world peace. That sounds all really great. But how are you treating your family? That's what I want to know. You may remember that Peanuts cartoon where Lucy and Linus are having a little conversation. And Linus announces to Lucy that he's going to be a doctor when he grows up. And she said, "You? A doctor? You don't even love mankind." And he was incensed. He said, "I love mankind. It's just people I can't stand." It's easy to talk about loving men in general, but how do you love people that are next to you?
Make the connection.
There are some people, I'm sure you know a few, who just seem to have a gift for cooking and baking. They take the ordinary and make it extraordinary. They take the common and turn it into a rare and unique culinary experience. This talent stems from the fact that they understand what ingredients are necessary for a successful recipe and how to use them. In a similar fashion, it's important to have a good understanding of the ingredients necessary for a successful church. And today in The Connection, Skip Heitzig talks about the most important ingredient, which sadly is often missing. Now, before we begin today's study, one ingredient everyone really enjoys during the holidays is a little sprinkling of gifts. And here are a few ideas for that.
There was a time in the 1960s where everyone sang about love and how we all needed to just get along. And how did that work out? During the Christmas season, we sing about peace on earth and goodwill towards men. However, the desires for peace and love of the 60s didn't last. Despite our desire for good relationships, there seems to be a huge lack of understanding in how to make relationships work. This Christmas, share some relationship advice straight from the Bible with Beyond the Summer of Love, Relationships in the Real World by Skip Heitzig.
We can measure our love for each other by how quick we react to the shortcomings of other people. Do we bear with people? Does that mark us? Are we forbearing individuals? Or do we find a shortcoming and then go after it? You see, love carries burdens. It bears all things.
You can order this re-release of Skip's book, Relationships, Connecting the Knots in the Threads of Life, along with his book, Encounter, for just $15 when you call 1-800-922-1888 or when you visit connectionradio.org. And if you're looking for something a bit more in-depth from Skip Heitzig this Christmas, order one of his teaching series like Church, Who Needs It? Or The Biography of God. They're available at a special price for the holiday season. Plus, with every order of $40 or more, we'll also send you a free Connection 2010 calendar featuring photos taken by Skip Heitzig. See all of these great gifts we have available this Christmas, including the Connection Christmas CD, As Stars Shine Bright, which is what you're listening to now when you browse our Christmas catalog at connectionradio.org.
Oh. Holy night, stars are brightly shining.
Get your copy when you call 1-800-922-1888.
Well, we'd sure encourage you to take advantage of those offers while they're still available up to Christmas time here on The Connection. Find out more from our Connection Christmas catalog or by going to connectionradio.org. Now, I don't know about love making the world go round. I think gravity has something to do with that. But I do know that love should be the core of any Christian's life. Join us as we learn more in today's message, The Missing Ingredient.
And make the connection at the foot of the cross. And study the Word of God and find the way into His love. Make the connection.
While having all the right ingredients is important in real life, a lack of them is TV sitcom gold. Here's Skip Heitzig to begin our time today.
When I grew up, I remember watching one of America's favorite television shows, The Beverly Hillbillies. Do you remember that? What a great show. Of course, the cast of characters included the patriarch of the family being Jed Clampett. And Jed occupies the opening scene, I believe. He's got gun in hand, and he's out shooting for some food, but up from the ground came a bubble in crude, oil that is, black gold, Texas tea. Let's all stand and sing together. No, I'm just kidding. Down, 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 down. That would be a good Dennis Agajanian song. Then there was Jethro. He was the dumb guy. Jethro loved the cement pond. Remember the swimming pool? And he never quite got urban Los Angeles, California living. He didn't never quite made it there. And I remember the scene when he walks into a restaurant and orders an expensive meal, and it's probably over $100. He eats it, and then the waiter hands him a bill, which he had never seen before. And he said, "What is this?" And the guy says, "Well, it's the check." And Jethro, being the hick that he was, looked at it and said, "Oh, no, I could never accept this check. You've already given me a free meal. I'm not going to take your money besides." And hands it back and walks out. I tried that. Then there was Granny. She was the cantankerous woman who kept everybody in line, but she could really cook up a mean possum stew, right? Then Ellie Mae. Ellie Mae was the gal who struck fear in people's hearts as she went to the kitchen to cook something because she couldn't cook. And nobody would want to eat her cooking except for Jed. Of course, Dad would eat anything. But Ellie Mae cooked biscuits one time, if I remember correctly, and she had all the ingredients except baking soda. So she adds the flour, and she adds the shortening, and she adds the milk, and a pinch of salt, and everything's there except that baking powder, so the things don't rise. And they were hard as a rock. So you can have all of the right ingredients, but the missing ingredient makes the difference between biscuits and weapons. You could landscape your yard with her biscuits. At least around here they would. And so it is with Christians, with churches. You can have all the right ingredients, seemingly, leadership, programs, activities, people, buildings. But if you don't have love, that's Paul's contention. That's the missing ingredient. That's the one thing that brings cohesion and meaning to the church. Lee Iacocca once interviewed the famous football coach Vince Lombardi and asked him specifically, "What makes a winning team?" I want to read to you his answer. He said, "There's a lot of coaches with good ball clubs who know the fundamentals. They have plenty of discipline. They still don't win the game. There's another ingredient. If you're going to play together as a team, you've got to care for one another. You've got to love each other. Each player has to be thinking about the next guy, saying to himself, 'If I don't block that man, then my guy is going to get his legs broken. I have to do my job well so that he can do his job.'" And Lombardi said, "Love makes the difference between mediocrity and greatness." It's the same way in a church. Love makes the difference between a mediocre church and a great one. It's the same in a marriage. Love makes the difference between a mediocre relationship and a great marriage. Corinth was a church growing, had all of the elements, but they were turning out rocks rather than biscuits. There was a missing ingredient. In fact, Paul commended them at the beginning of his little letter, long letter actually, about all the things they had. He writes, chapter 1, "He has enriched your church with the gifts of eloquence and every kind of knowledge. Now you have every spiritual gift you need." So they had it all, but according to chapter 13, the missing ingredient was agape, self-sacrificing, consistent, giving love. This morning we look at the first three verses. We look at it more in depth. 3 points, 3 verses. The first three verses is a hypothetical case of some fellow, some person, it's written in the imaginary first person as if Paul is saying he had these, if he had them, a person who is extraordinary, incredibly gifted, could speak in at least two different types of tongues, had the gift of prophecy, had the ability to move mountains, he had great faith. He would even offer his body and endure persecution and martyrdom. He had all of that, but he lacked love. The missing ingredient is mentioned in that phrase that is used three times, and have not love. If I have this, and have not love. If I have that, but have not love. If I can do this, but have not love. That's the missing ingredient. Let's take verse 1 and look at what is speech without love. He says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but I have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. Speech, tongue, words without love. The Greek word for tongue or tongues is glossa. It's a very common word. It can mean either the organ of speech, like when you bite your tongue. It can mean your language that you were born with, your mother tongue. But in context, here it means a spiritual gift. He's speaking about the ability to speak with other tongues, the gift of speaking in tongues. Which, by the way, the church at Corinth was so fascinated with this gift. And I'll tell you why in a moment. They just loved the possibility of being able to speak in unknown tongues. They were so fascinated with it, they abused it, and it became controversial. And guess what? It still is. In fact, I have a book on the subject of spiritual gifts by George Malone, and he calls the chapter on speaking in tongues the biggest friendship and oneness buster of the century. Churches divide over it. Groups split over it. Every time you talk about this concept, this idea, you can just sense backs straightening, necks stiffening, and even hearts hardening because of the controversy. And it can be a point where there's no love over the issue. When I was a young Christian, I walked into a church. I visited this church on one occasion, and they were doing something I had never seen. They were all standing up, uttering this mumbo jumbo, this gibberish, which was, I was told, speaking in tongues. They were all doing it at the same time. And it was scary. I didn't know what they were doing. I thought they might jump on me or something after that. And I was brand new, and I was the only one not doing it. I didn't know what it was. And the pastor noticed me there. And he walked up to me and he said very abruptly, are you a Christian? I go, yep. He said, well, you need to start speaking in tongues. And I think I said something like, you know, I was young and brash at the time. I don't recall you being the Holy Spirit. I don't think I'm going to do that. Now, it is controversial. And you don't have to be conned into it. You don't have to be taught how to do it. I know people who actually teach others how to do it. They teach people how to speak in tongues, and it's kind of hokey. They'll say things like, say hallelujah, hallelujah. Say it again, hallelujah, hallelujah. Say it faster, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. You just start doing it so fast. That's right, you got it, that's it. There were two kids, they were talking, they were at church, and one said, hey, how'd you get the Baptist kid to speak in tongues? The other kid said, it was real easy. I just kicked him real hard in the knee, you know, right at the shin. And he said, oh, my knee, oh, my shin, oh, my knee, oh, my shin, oh, my shin. That's it, brother. You got it. Hallelujah. Now, what is this gift exactly? It is a means, according to Paul, to communicate with God directly from your spirit. Chapter 14, verse 2, Paul says, for he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but he speaks to God. And then down in verse 14, if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays. It's a prayer language. It's not a communication device to people. It's a prayer language. And what's a language? What is any language? Any language is a pact. It's a pact. It's an agreement whereby certain sounds mean certain things to certain people. You and I have a pact. It's called English. I can utter articulate sounds and you understand because we have an agreement as to what those sounds mean. But you don't have a pact with people from other countries. So that if somebody walks up to you and says, Kartawe stotram, you go, huh? Because you don't have a pact with people in India. That means praise the Lord. Or if somebody comes up to you and says, Maraming salamat po, unless you're from the Philippines or understand the language, you go, huh? Or if somebody walks up to you and says, Mele kelikimaka amaka hiki hoi, which is in Hawaiian, Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. Unless you have a pact with them, it's not understandable. It's not edifying. But because language is a pact, you and I could make up our own. If we decided to, we could have a little pact going so that if we're all together, only you and I would know that pact. So let's say before we all meet together as a church, we talk to each other and I say, tell you what, when I see you and I say the words, huzza wuzza jazza wazza, that will mean after church is over, we'll meet at Starbucks. You go, okay, great. And then I say, and if I say that to you, then you can say Surface Murphus Calorex Flex, which means they'll see you there in 10 minutes and I'm buying. That's what it means. So we could be fellowshipping together, speaking our pact language, which is English, and then suddenly I say, Huzza wuzza, jazza wazza, Surface Murphus, Calorex Flex. And people go, what on earth are you doing? We know exactly what we're doing, right? Well, according to Paul, there was that ability that God gave believers whereby they could speak, communicate directly to God. And the pact was, I speak it and God understands it. It's prayer language. Here was the problem. Though Paul insisted that primarily it was a prayer language used in private devotions, the Corinthians loved the idea of doing it publicly. And you know why? Because they figured out that if they speak in tongues publicly, it will draw attention to themselves. They're suddenly on stage. They stand up and say, huzza wuzza jazza wazza, or whatever. Everybody looks at them and goes, what? So they're suddenly thrust in the limelight. Everybody looks at them. And Paul is saying, that's not loving, to stand up and draw attention in a worship service to yourself because nobody can understand what you're saying unless there's an interpreter. There's no love. So if I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but I don't have love, it's nothing. That's one possibility. There's also the possibility that Paul is simply speaking of exalted speech. If you have exalted speech but no love, it's zero. Because he says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels. Now, what do angels speak like? Do they speak angelese, some special kind of language among themselves? They might, we don't know. I know one thing, they eat angel food cake. That I know is true. They watch Touched by an Angel. That's their favorite show. But we know that in the Bible, whenever angels spoke to people, they spoke in the receptor language of the people. So Paul could simply be saying this, even though I am so eloquent that I have mastered human language and I have the excellence of speech and the golden oratory of angelic beings, if I don't have love present, so what? It's only a racket. I want to read something to you. It's by a professor of political science from Oxford, Ohio. And he writes about professors as a professor. He says, college professors may talk endlessly and learnedly about social reforms. Yet for all but a very, very few, I believe the only part of their lives that really make much difference to the real lives of others is the way they treat their wives or husbands, their children, their neighbors, their students in and out of class. And the general moral example that they set. The world would probably not be one whit the worse if 95% of all the books and learned articles were never written and most lectures never delivered. Think of the eloquent speech of songwriters, all the love songs that have been written, where somebody is so gifted with language and they can set music to language, and it's so beautiful and memorable. But what are the private lives of those songwriters and musicians like? They sing about love, but it's just words. So what? Like the Beatles, all you need is love. And they broke up and sued each other. And John left his wife and abandoned his son. So what? Or think of all the sermons preached by preachers who weren't caring for their wives. It's just speech. See, you can talk all about loving mankind and put nice little bumper stickers, visualize world peace. That sounds all really great. But how are you treating your family? That's what I want to know. You may remember that Peanuts cartoon where Lucy and Linus are having a little conversation. And Linus announces to Lucy that he's going to be a doctor when he grows up. And she said, "You? A doctor? You don't even love mankind." And he was incensed. He said, "I love mankind. It's just people I can't stand." It's easy to talk about loving men in general, but how do you love people that are next to you? If you say the greatest things, but you don't have love, he says, "I have become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal." You know what he's referring to? Pagan worship. In Corinth, there was the temple of Cybele, Bacchus, and Dionysus. And the way the pagans worshiped was by all uttering ecstatic noises while gongs and trumpets were blaring and cymbals were crashing. And Paul says, you can say all the great things in the world, but you don't have love. It's no different than pagan worship. Strong words. Second verse. This isn't speech without love. This is sensation without love. Paul says, "And though I have the gift of prophecy, and I understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing." It sounds like a pretty impressive person can do all that. Do you know anybody like this? I don't. I know people who think they know everything. But what an impressive, talented, gifted person. Notice the description. "Though I have the gift of prophecy." Now in chapter 14 of this book, Paul says, prophecy is a better gift in the assembly than tongues because people can understand you.
A love for God and a love for His people is what will unite the church and change the world. If we want to find solutions to division and strife within the church, the first thing we need to start with is love. And with that thought echoing in our minds, we're going to have to bring our time today to a close. But before we go, if you're looking for something that will encourage friends and family this Christmas season, here are a few gift ideas that you may find helpful.
In 1986, a drought caused the waters of the Sea of Galilee to recede, revealing one of the great New Testament archaeological discoveries.
Here we have something that takes us right back to the time of Jesus.
There in the dried up seabed, two brothers discovered the remains of a boat that dated back to the time of Jesus Christ.
We could ask for more. We got here a boat from the times of Jesus. I mean, it's something the whole world is waiting for.
As this boat slipped beneath the waves of the Sea of Galilee, the nation Israel was sliding off the pages of history. The Jesus Boat Revealed takes you on a video journey of these stories, an ancient boat that would not stay buried, and the nation Israel that could not remain lost. Skip Heitzig takes you on a journey through history and reveals how the past and present collide in this remarkable discovery. This DVD is available this Christmas for just $19. The Jesus Boat Revealed is a one-hour documentary hosted by Skip Heitzig and featuring Franklin Graham.
For the whole Arab world to turn on them, and very few people stood with them at that time.
Tim LaHaye, Ehud Barak, and many other expert interviews. Order the Jesus Boat Revealed documentary for Christmas at a special price of just $19. Just call 1-800-922-1888 or order from the Christmas catalog, available online at connectionradio.org.
Also, don't forget that if you ever miss any of the teachings in our current series, The Royal Road of Love, you can always find them, along with other items like the Connection magazine, at our website, connectionradio.org. Or you can order them when you call us at 1-800-922-1888. Each individual teaching is just $6. That includes shipping. And of course, anything you can share above that suggested amount will help go to support the continued ministry of The Connection.
So whether you'd like to review the material Skip has shared today or would like to share it with someone you know who might have questions about this subject, be sure to contact us today. Visit connectionradio.org or call us toll-free 1-800-922-1888.
Make the connection at the foot of the cross and study the Word of God and find the way into His love. Make the connection. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Make the connection.
Join us again next time as we find out more about how God's church and the Christian's life just isn't the same without the ingredient of love. The Connection is a presentation of Connection Communications, connecting you to God's never-changing truth in ever-changing times.